Give Pastor Aaron a big God bless you, would you? On what she said, we have a year-end offering that we do every year as well. And if you're looking to sow into something at the end of the year, please consider the work of the Lord here. You'll see some things this morning. My son Ryan is going to be sharing God's word and showed some pictures of brightening some people's lives this past week. But we do that on a regular basis as well here. So this year-end offering is designated to some new lighting in the entryway up here on the platform as well, and then to our missions that we send to, many of them. And we're going to do something at the year-end as a church to them as well, World Missions Alliance, right here locally, All Babies Cherished, 8 Days of Hope, and just a few more. We support the Los Angeles Dream Center on a regular basis. Somebody said to me one time, why do you do that? Why do you send money all the way to Los Angeles? Because we've sent people from Batavia all the way to Los Angeles many times. And I thank God for that ministry that has served 1.4 million meals this year and is just continually does that. Because we sow into something like that, we become a partaker of that right here in our own community. And incidentally, we'll be the Wednesday food distributions are going to begin again on January 6th. That's a week from this coming Wednesday. So, and I'm believing God that He's going to open up the doors for more. We are connected with World Mission, World Vision, that brought tractor trailer loads for, I think, a month and a half. And I'm believing God that that's going to happen again. So, listen, as we leave one year and enter a new one, sow to your future. Believe God that when you sow, He's going to do something great. I encourage you at the end of the year to seek the Lord in a way. I was sitting here this morning during the worship, and I love those old songs sometimes, don't you, as well? Garrett, he's got an old soul in him. I want to encourage you maybe to transition into a different decision for the end of this year and entering into 2021. I want to encourage you to spend some time in prayer with the Lord. Seek Him, what He would have you to be and to do in 2021. And make no small plans. Ask God for wisdom, how you can not only be effective as a child of God, but how God will use you and bless you for the purposes and the plans that He has for you. I read this scripture this week. Out of Matthew 25, Jesus gives three different parables. Parables about the 10 virgins, New International, the other parable, the New International describes it as bags of gold. It's how He entrusts you and I with things. And how in this parable, three different people, how they took what God gave them and what they did with it. But this first parable, He said, at the time, the kingdom of heaven, it'll be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. I kind of feel like our culture is in that way a little bit. That what's gone on, as devastating as it has been for some people, they've become a little drowsy, a little lethargic. Just kind of, yeah, what will be, will be. Verse 6, Jesus said, at midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom. The Bible says that Jesus is coming in a time when you know not. He'll come at an obscure moment that maybe some had planned for, some have. But even beyond that, Jesus is teaching us a lesson here, is to be alert and to be ready and to not leave one year and enter into a new year, not leave one season, enter into a new one in a lethargic, in a drowsy way. Be on the alert, your eyes wide open. Believe in God. What does he have for you? What new things will he have for you? And in order to participate in something new, you can't do the old. You'll hear Pastor Ryan talking about just that, going around in a circle and doing the same thing. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you always got. There has to be a change. There has to be a decision. And not just for a few weeks. I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions. I'm talking about stepping out and believing him for something that you never thought you could see possible. Jesus said at midnight, the cry rang out, the bridegroom is here, come out to meet him. And the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. There is always a responsibility on your and my part. But you can't wait. Hear me now. You can't wait until the last minute of your life and say, wait a minute, I got to do this right now. You're hearing it today. Make plans. Make plans now. You heard Pastor Aaron say when she got married, her and her husband made a plan to give to the Lord. Reminded me when Patty and I got married, I was making $100 a week on the farm. And I looked at her and I said, when the preacher said to give, I said to her, I'm going to give $10 of my $100 that I make. And she said, I think we should, honey. The Lord says so. Can I tell you today that was 43 years ago last week. Can I tell you today, we continue to do that. Can I just let you know, God has been good to us. Make a plan. Amen. Come on. Make a plan. Make a plan. I don't care how young and old. We're not changing what we do because we're getting a little older. Although I've said to a couple, they said, man, your son, he knocked it out of the park this morning. I said, yeah, I'm working myself out of a job here. Everybody's going to say, what's he doing there? We want the real preacher to come. And nothing could make me greater, feel better about it. That's part of my sowing into my family. Let's prepare. Come on, my brothers and sisters. It's not enough just to have the lamp. You got to have the oil. What's the old song? Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the light of day. All right, that's all I got. Pastor Ryan, come on up. Give him a big God bless you.
I don't know that song, Debbie, so don't play it. No, I don't know it. Never heard it. Yeah, he's got me on that one. You know, when your children do good, it's a good thing. You want your children to do well. You know, God the Father wanted his son to do well. Thank you, Jesus, for it. And my only response to, I'm working myself out of a job, you might be working yourself into more churches, more ministry, more souls. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm thankful to share the word. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for those of you that are joining on us online and also in person. I know some of you have been a little under the weather, and you're back, and we're so glad you're back, and you're feeling better, aren't we, church? Amen. My brother's feeling better. His wife and his whole family, they're feeling much better. They went through the storm and the flood, and they're back out on the other side, thank God. And they're watching now. We love you guys. And anybody else who couldn't come under the weather, God bless you. Thank you for keeping everybody safe and watching from home. Amen. And always when I minister here, I have like these reflection moments. I remember being just a boy and being in this room. And there was a wall that went right down the middle of this theater, and there was two separate theaters. We knocked the wall down, a bunch of us, a few of the men that are actually here this morning. We brought in a skid steer loader from the farm, had manure on it, and we knocked the wall down. And just a wonderful journey. And I'm just so thankful to see what the Lord is doing and has done in here, and how many faithful servants of the Lord here in the house this morning. Yesterday, just a few faces that were here. Jim Booty was here cleaning yesterday. Paulie, Ben Martin was out helping on the sidewalk. How many of you like dry sidewalks when you walk in here? They look pretty good, don't they? And so we're thankful for all of them, and the Lord is certainly doing great things. Listen, this message this morning, as I begin to prepare, and you know, you're entering into a new year, but more importantly, you're entering into a new season in your life, and you've got to believe that, you've got to embrace that, and you got to declare that over your life. There are people listening to me right now. I felt through the Holy Spirit that they're discouraged, that they're downtrodden. They maybe made some mistakes. Maybe there was some setbacks coming out of 2020. But the Holy Spirit is ready to even if you go kicking and screaming, He wants to drag you into a new normal in your life, a new season in your life. You're at the right place. You're at the right time and the right moment for God to do a significant work in your life. If you just open up your heart to Him this morning, open up your life to Him. And I believe right now with all my heart that we are setting the tone for 2021. There were last year, just recalling as I begin to prepare this, there were words last year at the beginning of the year that I kind of, you know, listened to, and you know, you hear a prophetic word and you really just, you don't understand it all. Some prophetic messages spoken. Last year there was a word spoken here that and all over that this would be the year of the mouth. How many of you remember that word? And I thought, the year of the mouth, dear Lord, I don't need any more mouthiness in my house. I got all I need. But then to come along and we got face mask on all year long. There was revelation that was shared last year that came to pass, and I believe the same is true every year, that God begins to speak and He begins to minister and He begins to enlighten us and prepare us for the season we're about to enter into. So I ask you this morning just to open your life, open your heart, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you in a specific way. It'll be different for different ones. It'll be sown in different ways in children and sons and daughters. But the word of the Lord will go forth this morning, and if you'll allow it to, it'll change your life. A new year, but a new season, a new normal. A new path, and as I begin to think about this, I begin to think about the Christmas season. If you were here Christmas Eve, what a great service! What a message that was spoken about the prodigal son coming back to the Father, and the correlation between that parable that Jesus shared, and also us as His children coming back to Jesus, coming back to God the Father, and obviously the Christmas season, Jesus coming into the world for your sin and for my sin, and becoming that atoning sacrifice, the Redeemer, the bringing that redeeming power into the world, this season is everything. It's what it means. It's about the gift of our Savior and the availability of eternal life. But just as important as that, and I want you to hear this morning. There's going to be a couple turning points in my message, but I want you to to hear this right now. It, just as important as that salvation is in your life and in my life and in our family's lives, he didn't just come for salvation. He didn't just come to give you a ticket to heaven and say, hey, you know, we'll see you in heaven someday. But he came to this earth. He was born in that manger. He became the representative of his Father. He became that representative of heaven here on earth, not only for salvation, but so you could have a new life here on earth. And I don't know about you, but I'm so happy for that. I love the gift of salvation. But I'll tell you, I love God's word. I love living in breathing and just partaking of the word of God. Aaron shares about the Bible reading plans. And of course, I can't not say something about YouVersion. It's changed my life. It's changed my family. It's changed the body of Christ here. And I want to just encourage you in this new year, if you want to step into that new season, instead of just a continuation, a new season for what the Holy Spirit, what God the Father has for you in your life, you've got to read his word. And all throughout his word, it refers to that feeding, that bread that the word of God provides. And don't try to enter in. Don't try to enter into this new year and this new season without it. My dad, again, preached on Christmas about that redeeming power that Jesus Christ sent. And he still does it today. He still does it. It just amazes me. It just amazes me. It never ceases to amaze me the families and the people and the individuals that I see that are in a place, in a valley, in a difficult season that God just grabs a hold of it and he redeems the time. He's a redeemer. He's a kinsman redeemer. He pulls us from the valley that we lived in, and he pulls us, and the scripture says he sets our feet on a rock. And I want to read to you in 2 Corinthians this description. And as I set some foundations here this morning, I pray that you just stay with me a few minutes. It's in 2 Corinthians 5:16, and I won't be long. This is in the Message version. It says, because of this decision, and you say, well, what decision is that? It's a decision to say, Jesus, come and live in my life. Not just for a ticket to heaven, not just so I don't want to live in the fear of not knowing if I go to heaven to hell. It does that, but not just for that, but a new life here on earth. That's why when my dad talks about giving and sowing into the work of the kingdom, here's what he's encouraging you to do. Not just to trust in the Lord for your salvation, but actually to trust him with your life. It's you know, it's a decision to say yes to Jesus. It's another decision to live for Jesus. And it says these words, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him this way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is, and listen to these words, that anyone united with the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty One, the Holy One of Israel, it says they get a fresh start and is created new. And it says these words, the old life is gone and the new life begins. Look at it, it says. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him. And then he called us to settle relationships with one another. That's profound. The Apostle Paul says these words, Jesus paid a price so you could start over. Whatever your situation, whatever your problem, whatever your family background, I didn't share this in the first service, but when I read this, it makes me think of the background of some in this room. My dad, first of all, you know, I look around, I see different ones, and I see the background of which they came from, and they made this decision to say yes to Jesus and yes to walk in the way, not just yes to salvation, but yes to walk in the ways of the Lord here on earth. And I think to myself, what a page that has to be turned. What a cycle that has to be broken. What decisions that have to be made to say, yeah, yes, I'm changing it all. I'm following Jesus because he lives. So we understand. I think we all understand. I truly think every person in this room understands that we can start over. That we can start afresh, that in 2021, you don't have to repeat what you repeated in 2020. I'll tell you what, I pray that things don't get repeated. I hope that this thing all turns, and praise God, I don't have to wear a mask anymore. I pray that the things that I experienced in the thoughts that I thought in 2020, I pray with all my heart that in 2021 we can enter into that new season. But it happens when we embrace and we press that reset button. I begin to think every time I think of reset, we used to have this furnace in our house. Some of you've heard me tell this story before, but when we were kids, we'd walk in after church, and it seemed to always happen on Sunday. We'd walk in from church, it was the devil working in the furnace. And we'd walk in the house, it'd be a little chilly, and my dad would go down in the basement, and there was a reset on the side of the furnace, and he'd push that thing, and 15, 20 minutes ago would go by, and all of a sudden it'd be warm in the house. And God wants to do the same thing in your life. He wants to reset. He wants to revive. He wants to restore what the enemy has stolen, what the enemy has sent for bad. God wants to restore and revive it for good. There are several things that come to mind when I think of 2020, things that we didn't appreciate before. We didn't really appreciate coming to church, did we, all the time? Until it was taken. And we couldn't go to church. And there was no one here. I remember the first Sunday I began to sing up here and begin to preach up here when there was nobody in here. I said, God, forgive me for taking such things for granted. Things that we just thought were so simple. But God has done a restart. And I believe he's done a restart in our country. I believe that there are people who are exploring the gospel message that never have before. They want to hear about this Jesus. They want to hear about this new start, this new path. We've set a little foundation. Now I want to read something to you in Deuteronomy 2 and just pull a couple thoughts going into the new year. In Deuteronomy 2, it says these words. If you'll just stay with me a little bit, I know this is you'll get something from this, though. It says these words, then we turn back and set out towards the wilderness along the route to the Red Sea. As the Lord had directed me for a long time, we made our way around this hill country. Then the Lord said to me, you have made your way around this hill country long enough, now turn north. And I want to read that again to you, and I want you to receive it into your heart. It says these words, then the Lord said to me, you have made your way around this hill country long enough, now turn north. And I want to communicate from the subject this morning, now turn north. Tell your neighbor, I'm going higher. Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask by your Holy Spirit that your word would be communicated with clarity and revelation. The revelation that you send by the gifting of your Holy Spirit that I've felt so many times. Father, I just ask that you would embrace me this morning, Father. as your servant and do what you do so well in your house. Change us, renew us, revive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to give you three thoughts this morning that I believe with all my heart as I prayed and asked the Lord. I want to give you three thoughts that I believe He gave me for this new year. The people that we are reading about today are the people that I preached about last month. How many of you remember that message? When you are weak and seem out of options, God brings an opportunity. You remember that? When even in weakness, you've got to keep moving. Even in weakness, you must give thanks. God brought these people, the same people I preached about last month, I'm preaching about this morning. God brought these people out of Pharaoh's house. And you know the story. Pharaoh is a type of Satan. He brings them out of the land of Egypt. God has shown himself and invested so much. He delivers them from the hand of the enemy. And my question for you is, have you been delivered? I believe you have. I believe with all my heart. I believe as I begin to write this, I felt so strongly that even a month ago, that thing that you were praying for and wrestling with and struggling with, you've actually had a season of victory. You're walking in the victory of that struggle. Those of you that are watching at home, I felt this with all my heart and my spirit, that you are backed into a corner. You are in a difficult place, and you said, God, I need a touch from you. I need your hand from heaven to minister, to change, to restore in my life. And God's done it. And God has done it, and He's brought. Some of you have joy that you haven't felt in so long. Some of you needed a physical healing in your body. I see some of the faces this morning, and all of a sudden, God from heaven touched you and ministered to you and changed in your soul and your body and in your mind. And all of a sudden, you think to yourself this morning, yeah, I do. I am realizing that victory. God delivered and tore down the enemy of Moses and the children of Israel, and He's done the same for us, and He's brought them out on eagle's wings, the scriptures depict. He brought them out in the fullness of deliverance, but instead of reaching the entirety of the deliverance, they wandered around a mountain for 40 years. As you read this scripture, as I have many times, it could make you wonder, did God wait 430 years for this deliverance just so the people could walk around in circles? How many of you think that sometimes? And this is what I want to tell you. God didn't invest that much in the children of Israel. God didn't invest that much in Moses. God didn't invest that much in His people just to let them wander and walk around in circles in a desert place, in a wilderness place. He didn't put that much into you. He didn't put that much into me just to leave them where they were. To wander and wonder. This morning, I want to give you three things that I believe the Holy Spirit gave me going into the new year. I want to read this to you again. And the Lord said to me, He's speaking to Moses, you've made your way around this hill country long enough. Now turn north. And my first point this morning, and I hope that you leap in your spirit when you hear it. In 2021, your wandering is over. In 2021, that wandering feeling that we've all felt, that we've all embraced from time to time, that wandering, that wandering that we've all done, the frustration, the circling of the wagons, the second guessing that we've all felt, that cycle of circling that same old thing for 40 years. Some it's been 5 years. Some it's been 10 years. Some it's been 15 years. Some it's been 10 years. 40 years, 50 years. The Holy Spirit sent me here this morning to tell you, your wandering is open. You are about to walk into a place of clarity, of vision. And this is what was just sowed into my heart and to my spirit. The Habakkuk word of the Lord is about to take place in your life, that if he told you what he could do, if he told you what he's going to do, if he told you what your wife would do, if he told you what your husband would do, you wouldn't even believe it. You wouldn't even believe it. The Lord said, you're in your lane. That there's not going to be the nonsense. There's not going to be the wandering. You are entering this season of clarity, this season of your promised land. Your wandering in 2021 is over. I'm going to give you a shift, he says, but you're going to have to leave some old cycles behind. You think about this. You think about this. There's a nation. There's not 10 people. There is a nation of people that have been delivered. The hand of the Lord has been on them. God has brought them out on eagle's wings. He brought them out of all kinds of slavery. He's brought them out of tyranny. He's brought them out of sin. He's brought them out from the enemy, from the tricks and the schemes of Satan. He brought them out just for them to start engaging in another cycle, because that's all they knew from what was before. See, understand this. I feel this by the Holy Ghost. They left Egypt, but they had a cycle. And people, whether you realize it or not, people engage in cycles. And it's easy to jump from one cycle right over to another cycle. And that's what these people did. They begin to walk in this cycle 40 years around a mountain. But the Holy Spirit said, your wandering in 2021's over. You're going to jump from the cycle into a new normal, into a new season, into a clarity and a vision that you haven't felt in some time. But it's going to hurt. It's going to be painful. It's going to be work. It's going to be thinking. Your thought process is going to have to change. The way you conceive information when you got offended before, the Holy Spirit's going to stop you and say, no, it's for my good. It's for the mission of my kingdom. When I got angry before and all of a sudden I just left, I just walked out the door. I said, I'm done with them. Instead of leaving, I'm going to cleave. Instead of walking away, I'm going to cleave to the things of God. I am going to leave the cycles that have been passed down from generation to generation, because I know God has more for me. I brought my people out, not just to wonder and to wander. I brought them out to embrace a promised land, a dream, a goal, a vision. And some of you, even when I'm saying that, I can see your posture right now. No, I can't. Don't say it, Ryan. Please don't say it to me. I've wanted it for so long. I thought it was coming. My heart's broke, though. I can't put myself out there one more time. Please don't even say it. No, I won't receive that. I'll clap. I'll nod my head. I'll keep coming to church, but enter into the dreams and the visions and the promised land that you have for me. Can it even be so? I'm glad you said that. That's why the Lord told me to tell you my second point. To remember what has happened, but not to repeat what has happened. 40 years they wandered around after God had delivered them in a miraculous way. And not to get in too deep, but you say, why couldn't Moses? I mean, what did God just, was he a kid that he didn't like or something? Moses and the children of Israel had the same problem with disobedience, in sin, and in cycles that we have. Here's the difference, though. If you haven't followed anything else that I say, here's the difference. That's why I get scared when new believers start in Genesis and read through the entire Bible with us, because people have come up to me and said, if this is the kind of God, there's no way I'm getting into heaven. These people did half of what I've done. I'm done for. Here's the difference. Moses didn't have Christmas. Moses didn't have Jesus. That's the difference between these people that we're talking of and you and me. They didn't have this redeeming power that I spoke of. In 1 John 2, it says, my dear children, I write to you so that you don't sin. But if anyone does sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is atoning. He is the atoning sacrifice for your sin. So what I'm saying is, you don't have to repeat the cycle that you saw. You don't have to pay the price for your sin. You don't have to try so hard. Let me work harder. Let me do more. Let me show myself. You don't have to do that. Jesus paid the price for your sin and mine, so we don't have to repeat. All we do is remember. The Father doesn't want you wandering in guilt, in regret, and in the cycles of your yesteryears. He wants you to move into 2021 free and to break the cycles of your sin. Let me say this to you. My wife made cookies for Christmas. All the men should say amen. There you go. My wife made these cookies, and man, if I ate them. You can tell by the way this vest fits me. I have ate them and ate them and ate them. And let me just say this. Jesus forgives. My dad said, that's not a sin. No. He does. I'm using it as an illustration to say, he'll forgive you your sin. The problem is, some of the consequences will follow you. It's not God with his strong arm smashing you down and giving you 10 more pounds. It's the cookies that you ate that gave you the 10 more pounds. The grace of God covers your sin. Don't live in the consequences of your sin, though. Do you see the difference? People get mad at God. I'm done with God. You know, this happened and that happened. No, he didn't do it. I'm sorry, but you did it. Remember, don't repeat. Remember where you came from, but don't live there your whole life. I think of so many stories, but when we were kids, this is a true story, and I think of it every Christmas, and my mom cries every year when I talk about it. It was a tough time. My parents had nothing. We had nothing. She was walking to a bus stop, jumping a transit system. And I remember thinking, oh, mom's got the toys. She's got the gifts hidden in her bedroom, not under the tree, right? She's just trying to trick us. And on Christmas Eve, a knock came at the door, and a UPS man dropped a box of toys. And it was some family friends that sent those toys. And I remember Christmas morning ripping that box open and all these toys and thinking to myself, okay, now where are the toys that mom and dad have? There was no toys. If that box hadn't have come, there wouldn't have been an opening of a gift. There wouldn't have been, it would have just been the reading of Luke like dad always did. Why do I share that? I share that to say this. I remember that so well, but I don't repeat it. I don't repeat it. And the reason I remember it this week, it's my most favorite thing. I could care less about stuff. You could ask my wife. Care less if they buy anything, are given anything. I love to give these kids these gifts. Do you have the pictures or no? There they are. We got to drive around all week, and we got to hand all kinds. You got them? All kinds of gifts out this week to families that don't have anything. I remember so well being in the position where I had nothing, but I swear to you this morning, I won't repeat that, because I want to be not only a preacher, I want to be a provider for those that don't have. I want to bless someone who's less fortunate than me. I want to remember where God has brought our family from, but I don't want to repeat it. And the same is true for you. Don't repeat the sin of your yesteryear. Don't repeat the struggle of your yesteryear. Don't repeat what you prayed so hard. God, if you'll take me from this, I promise you, you've prayed those prayers, haven't you? Remember, just don't repeat. If I repeat the struggle, I can't make the difference that God wants me to make, or that I can make, because I just repeated the cycle. I've got to jump from the cycle to my new normal. He wants to break the cycle of addiction. He wants to break the cycle and the tendencies that you know that God is speaking and ministering to your heart. Break the thing. Give Jesus the issue. When we tell you, read your Bible, when we tell you, come to church, when we tell you to pray, it's not... You know, we love when people come, but we don't want to just come in and have a great time. We want to come in and we want to be transformed. Can I tell you something? As a pastor's kid, I've had people say things like this: I just need some Jesus. I just need some Jesus. I need some Jesus. You don't just need Jesus in a moment. You need him for transformation in your life. Number one, your wandering's over. Number two, remember, don't repeat. And number three, and I'm finishing with this. Listen to what I'm about to say, because the Holy Spirit gave this to me. Even if Moses had had Jesus, which he didn't, there was still one thing that he would have needed to enter the promised land. If you read the scripture, if you read throughout this scripture, there was something that when God spoke to Moses, he says, you're done wandering. I'm about to move you into the promised land. God said to Moses, you'll see it, but you're not going into it. Jesus is the atonement for our sacrifice. We're going to see our promised land. You should say amen to that. But there's one thing that you need, that Moses needed, that Joshua needed, that the children of Israel needed, and their children needed. You know what it is? Just hit your neighbor and say, you need me to survive.
Come on, clap your hands for the Lord Jesus this morning. Would you do that? God bless you all so much. Thank you for your kindness.
Brad, we got going there, Paul.
The rest of the elders, thank you so much for that. So kind. So wonderful. So glad to be a part of all of your lives.
Hold on just a minute.
You've made me better.
Thank
you,
Lord.
You've helped us all, and we're so grateful for that. And I said this in the first service, I'm just so honored today to be the grandfather of five grandchildren, but in particular, this tall drink of water today. Ryan, stand up. I want everybody to see you one more time. He's a teenager today.
Thank you, Lord. Yes or no, Mo? No? Well, you need one another. You don't have to move. Come back over here. You need one another. You need one another to survive. Moses couldn't enter his promised land without Joshua. Joshua couldn't enter his promised land without Moses. And neither could the children of Israel. You need each other. Why don't you go do it with Debbie? Come on. Right from the beginning, Polly. Turn it up, guys.
I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body.
Look at somebody and tell them, I need you.
I need you.
You need me.
You need me.
We're all a part.
We're all a part of God's body.
Stand with me.
Stand with me.
Look at somebody and tell them, agree with me.
Agree with me.
We're all a part.
We're all a part of God's body.
It is His will. You
pray for me.
You are. Clap your hands, everybody.
Wow. Wow. We need one another. I don't care how tough, strong you are, how gifted, talented you are. I've been doing this for a while now, and I've seen the mighty, because they haven't had anybody in their lives, they crumble. We need one another. There's an evil spirit in the world today that's trying to separate people. Listen, don't criticize me for this now. We got to come together, whether it's on a phone call or however we need. If you're going to break that cycle that Pastor Ryan just talked about, you are not going to do it in your own strength, my brothers and my sisters. We need others. Amen? Come on, do you hear me today? We need Jesus. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me today? If you've never given your life to Him, you need to come to Him today. And maybe you've just been kind of in and out. You're caught up in that cycle. Go through a season. You say, like Pastor Ryan said, I need some Jesus people coming. I need some church today. No, you need a transformation. Not just in the moment, but in your life. Ask Him to be your Lord and your Savior today. Say, Jesus, come into me. Live inside of me. Father, I pray for my brothers and my sisters, my friends today. Strength and peace and hope would be their portion. God, as we leave 2020 and go to 2021, that we will not just do it in our own ability or how we've always done it, but we'll trust You for that. I give You thanks and praise today. I pray Your favor and blessing. I pray the Lord bless you and keep you. I pray the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. I pray that the Lord give you His peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I love you. God bless you. Thank you for everyone that has been giving. I pray that you'll consider the year-end offering as we leave this 1 week, this last week of the year, and enter into a new year just this coming Friday, 2021. Ask God what He would have you to do. Let's be faithful to Him as we start off in a new year. Go in His grace. I love you. God bless each and every one of you.